Welcome everyone to Qualitative Conversations. I'm Jessica Lester, the current chair of the Qualitative Research Special Interest Group. This particular episode of the podcast includes two parts, with the two parts collectively providing insights related to participatory inquiry. The first episode includes guest Dr. Megan Call Cummings, who speaks about the ways in which she has come to understand participatory inquiry. The second part involves members of the Participatory Research Collective, wherein Dr. Call Cummings, as well as two high school students and a teacher, talk about their collective and generative work together. I hope you listen, enjoy, and share with others. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Qualitative Conversations, a podcast series hosted by the Qualitative Research Special Interest Group of the American Educational Research Association. I'm Jessica Lester, the chair of the Qualitative Research Special Interest Group, and I'm happy to be joined today by Dr. Megan Call Cummings. Dr. Call Cummings will be speaking with me today about participatory inquiry. Dr. Call Cummings is an assistant professor of qualitative methodology in the College of Education and Human Development at George Mason University. She specializes in critical, participatory, and feminist methodologies. After defending her dissertation, she spent 1 year as a postdoctoral fellow at Indiana University's Center for P16 Research and Collaboration, where she collaborated on internally and externally funded initiatives that address educational needs in Indiana and globally. She has been at George Mason University since that time. Her formal training includes work in various qualitative methodologies in informal and formal educational contexts. Currently, her research takes three directions. First, she's interested in the study of qualitative inquiry methods at a theoretical and conceptual level, giving particular attention to the ways in which qualitative methodology conceptualizes ethics and validity. Second, she explores the ways in which research is taught and learned in PK16 settings and what it means to be a producer of knowledge. And third, she examines the instructional and administrative practices and local level policies that impact students from diverse backgrounds. Dr. Call Cummings' work most often takes participatory action research and youth participatory action research forms. Most recently, she has established a research relationship with a large public high school in Virginia, where she is working with administrators, teachers, and students to conduct a participatory action research project that seeks to create a stronger sense of community and belonging for the diverse students who attend this school. In this episode, we'll get to learn more about this project and even hear from some of the students. Thank you so much, Megan, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So Megan, you've engaged in participatory work for several years now. What does it mean for you to engage in what you often refer to as participatory inquiry?
So I think the biggest thing when I think about participatory inquiry or participatory action research is really a centering on a democratization of the knowledge production process. And what I mean about that, with not so many syllables, is really that it's all about kind of recognizing the expertise, and not only recognizing but valuing the expertise, the knowledges, the experiences of those with whom I interact. Most mm-hmm. often that ends up being students and teachers and administrators, although I most often talk more about students and teachers because administrators are pretty good at putting forth, you know, their own expertise. So it's really about kind of being purposeful about who's in the room, who has a say, who has a voice. And also for myself as a university-based researcher, being open to kind of being wrong about what's important in the knowledge production process.
Mm. Can you give an example of being wrong in some of your work?
Oh yeah, I've got lots of those, yeah. In fact, that's what I write about a lot, is being wrong or making mistakes, that type of thing. Let me think. Of course, it's all mushing together. Let me think. Sorry, Jessica.
No, take your time.
Thanks. Just want to think of one that's really useful. In this most recent project that I've been working on that you talked a little bit about in the introduction, with this school in Virginia, we started out really strongly focused on this idea of community building. And that really came from the principal. He was really interested in that idea because the school is not a kind of community-based school. It draws from all around the area. So when I started getting together with students and teachers, I was working against pushing that idea of community building. I was really trying to be open and, you know, like building authentic relationships and things like that. But also putting forth this idea that, you know, this is one possible way this process could go is the idea of community building. And I kind of took it for what it was or what it appeared to me as a problem or something like that. And just through the course of the years, I've been working with these students and teachers and administrators as well. I've had to really check myself and be a listener and I don't know, every word is kind of rife with complication, right, and difficulty, but be open to hearing what the students have to say. And so, for example, in a conversation with some students, they were really talking about race as being a pretty serious issue. Black Expo is an annual event that the school holds, and it was canceled. I don't know if it was a year or 2 years ago. And it came up in almost every conversation as being a real difficult problem and struggle for many of the students who identified as Black, as feeling like, you know, their identity was kind of canceled. Mm-hmm. And so the kind of, I'm not sure if this is so much as wrong or kind of really dealing with my own identity and tensions around being a researcher and also, you know, trying to maintain relationships with the principal so that I can still work there, and also authentic relationships with the students so that they know that I'm, you know, kind of valuing their own kind of experiences and expertise. It was difficult for me to be able to authentically value, but see both sides and not just say, okay, you know, jump on the train around Black Expo, but also value it, if that makes sense. So kind of working within that tension of relationships there has been a struggle.
That's a really helpful and layered example. So when you think about your work, are there particular theorists or scholars that you draw upon in your participatory inquiry?
Yeah, I really came up being trained, as you know, by Barbara Dennis and Phil Karspeckin at Indiana University, who are definitely critical scholars. And they draw heavily on critical theorists like Jürgen Habermas. And so that's where some of my work has really been founded. I really appreciate Habermas's theory of communicative action, and specifically, I often draw on, not even explicitly, but just kind of in my own head, I think about Habermas's ideal speech situation that he's written about. This ideal speech situation says that, number one, all participants have the right to speak. Number two, all participants are open to seeing possible errors in their arguments. And then three, all who would be affected by the conversation have their needs represented. So you could see how that can really lend itself well to this idea of participation, and not as kind of like a checkboxy, oh, have all these things happened, but as this ideal, reaching toward this ideal for democratization of the knowledge production process. So that's something that I try to challenge myself to think about really explicitly all the time as I'm working this way. But I also draw on the work of Patty Lather, especially when I'm thinking about validity. And then I draw on Michelle Fine a lot, Orlando Falls Borda, Paulo Freire, those type of scholars.
So you've talked about this a little bit already, but what are some of the challenges that you have faced in engaging in participatory inquiry?
Thanks. Yeah, so one of those is really that tension of being a scholar and an activist and in the middle of students and teachers and administrators and just kind of trying to balance all those roles and identities. So that's often one of the most difficult things for me. Mm-hmm. Also, I often recognize little mistakes or places where I didn't step up after the fact. So mm-hmm. I'll give you an example, again, of this most recent project that I've been working on. And I've talked to the teacher about it, so she wouldn't be surprised if I were to say this. You know, we were in a conversation with students and then the teacher, Mrs. Beardsley, and we were all just kind of talking and floating different ideas, and it was getting a little chaotic, which tends to happen. And all of a sudden, Mrs. Beardsley kind of said, "Well, this is what the adults think." And everybody mm-hmm. stopped and listened to her. And that's fine, you know, but in that moment, I was like, you know, I felt it in my gut, you know, like, wait, just this kind of invocation of power. And but not that it was wrong, but that it just felt weird to me, you know, and I didn't say anything. And afterwards, I thought a lot about it. But just that feeling of, oh my gosh, there's this power thing going on. I have no idea how to deal with it right now, but I know I should deal with it, but I can't because I just am in this weird space. Mm-hmm. So that tends to happen a lot for me. So those kind of like micro ethical moments, are hard for me. And I struggle and keep working on those moments of being able to more quickly, and thoughtfully and purposefully react.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a really powerful example. Megan, I'm sure that many of our listeners would appreciate accessing your work further. What is the best way for people to learn more about your scholarship?
Well, one of the ways to do that is to go to my website, which actually focuses more on my dissertation, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to get more up there, and that's researchforempowerment.com. So like I said, that really centers on my dissertation work, but it'll give a nice sense of kind of who I am and what I do. And hopefully in the next few months, I'll have more links to other scholarship and also other projects that I'm working on.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for joining me today. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jessica.